Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our theme for today is simplicity, and I suppose the theme has a lot to do with maybe a better way of approaching life. I remember reading Henry David Thoreau and reading excerpts from Walden Pond, and I remember one of the statements that he made that so stays with me, and the essence of that statement had to do with when I reach the end of my life, I don't want to look back and come to the conclusion that I have not really, truly lived. And I think that has a lot to do with what Alice Bailey says, too. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature, and all of the dialogue that you here on this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey, as does this thought. Simplicity is the way of soul growth. Be simple. Well, how is being simple different than being simple-minded?
I'm not sure. It's a very fine line. Well, when people are called simple, when we say of someone he's a bit simple, we mean they are undeveloped mentally, I think, and unsophisticated. Mm-hmm. And that's a different kind of simplicity. When we talk about simplicity as the way of soul growth, we're talking about the marshalling of one's forces and the directing of one's energies in a unified way. It's the opposite of the complex living that so characterizes so much of society today, where people have more than they can possibly handle in terms of commitments and obligations and interests and activities. And I think a lot of people sense that it's just getting kind of crazy. Not only is it kind of crazy, it shuts out the quiet, still voice of the soul. There are a lot of descriptions of this inner voice that express its simplicity. It's still, it's quiet, it's a single note, you could say. It's lost in today's world. When we are told to be simple, we're asked to pare down our life, as Thoreau said so beautifully, to the essentials. Figure out what you really value, what's really important to you, and let go of all the rest.
Yeah, I think paradoxically, there may be a connection there between being simple and simple-minded. There are similarities between these two, I think, because a simple-minded person is not affected by the complexities of daily life. His needs are pretty simple, and he sees life in simple terms. But being simple can be a consciously chosen way of life, that just as you said, pare it down to the essentials. This is one who is able to ignore and detach from all those complexities that make life.
Well, certainly the religious orders have always understood this, not only of Christianity, but of many faiths. When one joins a religious order, one undergoes voluntarily to live a simple life. The monastery or the convent or the lamasery or whatever requires that people dress simply, eat simply, use their time in simple ways. We don't have to go that far, I don't think, to cultivate this simplicity, mm-hmm. but it is a kind of a touchstone that we can measure our lives against.
Mm-hmm. Well, simple-minded certainly may have a negative connotation to it, but when you really think of it, some of the greatest spiritual figures were very simple in their approach mm-hmm. to life. Can you tell us something about that approach to life that some of the greatest spiritual figures have? Wasn't it often simple, so to speak?
Well, I think the kind of simplicity that is being described there is the lack of complexity of psychological temperament, for one thing. And in fact, when you think about it, a psychological complex is a problem, an obsession or a focusing of energies, sometimes in a submerged, unconscious way, a fixation mm-hmm. on something. When you have a complex psychologically, you have a problem. And the simple psychological state is one that's unified. The person is not complicated. He is not fragmented in his mental and psychological makeup. He is who he appears to be. There's no delineation between the real inner person and what is displayed outwardly. He is free of hypocrisy, or she, free of dissembling. They are pure in that sense, and simple and open. An example might be someone like the Dalai Lama. I think he's probably someone who's quite uncomplicated and yet very deep, obviously, mm. in the spiritual awareness that he has. But there's a lack of many different sides to his psychological makeup that makes him healthy and whole.
Certainly, and we speak of great spiritual figures, then of course we have the example of the Buddha, and the Christ, of course, and many of the old Christian mystics, and perhaps even Gandhi. Could you say mm-hmm. Gandhi advocated that kind of
He
simple.
Certainly advocated simplicity, wearing just a loincloth and yeah. weaving and vegetarian diet.
So it seems to be that those truly spiritual figures in down through history have always lived rather simply, and they advocated a simple way of life because that allows what they stand for to come out, and it isn't distracted by a lot of the complexities of life.
But I suppose what's even more important than one's physical circumstances about the way we live our lives is the simplicity that we're supposed to cultivate mentally. We're told in the writings of Alice Bailey to think with simplicity, cultivate simplicity of thought, and remember that bewilderment and worry about conditions and people and the general puzzled, suspicious, wondering attitude towards life indicates a lot of mental activity, but not much real spiritual understanding. And on the level of the soul, things are very clear, I think. Very defined and founded on a few essential principles. It's said that the simplicity of the soul opens the way into Shambhala, into the way where the will of God is known, the simplicity of the soul. Our innermost being is not overly complicated, not given to anxiety, not wondering or bewildered or torn between this and that. It knows who it is. It's love. And its light and its spiritual will. Those three things make up our true essential being. Everything else that we've added on layer upon layer is like the husks that disguise the corn. And they all have to be stripped away when one develops spiritually. This is part of the process of spiritual development, and it's why it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time to peel away all those layers of the complexity of the many different selves that we've cultivated over the eons to find out who we really are.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our theme for today is simplicity. And I suppose the theme of simplicity also has a lot to do with how to be worry-free and how to really enjoy life to the greatest extent. And we also have to pay for this radio show, and we appreciate your help when you can do that to help us out with that payment of the show. We'd love you to, we'd love to keep these shows on the air, but we really need your help from time to time. And all the work of the Lucis Trust, including this program, is really funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. And donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I know that I've heard so many people over the years say, well, why can't we have something really unusual on radio, discussion of philosophy, discussion of different approaches to life, how to be happy in life, how to discover what love is, and how to be free of worry. And we don't pretend to have all the answers, but certainly this is that type of show, so finally you have that type of show. So if you want to help us out, maybe we can stay on the air and continue presenting these shows to you. Donations, once again, can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And we have a general package of information that tells you about Lucis Trust, who we are, what we're all about, and I guess, for lack of a better term, we're a spiritual philosophy organization. We're certainly not a religion, and we have people from all walks of life and varieties of religious backgrounds who attend our meetings, who read our literature and participate in discussions when they meet with us. And I guess the one commonality that all of those people have that seems to be in sync with the basic premises of the Lucis Trust organization is the improvement of mankind. I guess that's what we're all commonly focused on. So if you'd like that general package of information that gives you a lot of information about us, you can give us a call on our toll-free number, and of course we'll send it out to you free of charge, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. If you were to pick any one of the 24 volumes to read, Ponder on This would be the one book that kind of gives you a cross-section of many of the themes in the Alice Bailey literature. How can one live simply in this increasingly complex world? I think that would be something I'd like to know about.
Well, to begin with, I came across a quote the other day that indicates this is not a new desire, this urge to live a simplified life in an increasingly complicated world. I found a quote from a Japanese poet back in the 1600s who was complaining that the ancient simplicity is gone,
The
people today are satisfied with nothing but finery.
he didn't know what complex was. He should have waited around a few hundred years.
He'd probably be appalled today. And then there were the Spartans of ancient Greece who cultivated a simplicity that led to a denial of a lot of the physical comforts of life. I'm certainly not advocating that. I think the modern world has brought a lot of blessings in terms of physical comfort that frees us to enjoy the more abstract areas of life and takes our attention off the physical plane survival. But the complexity of modern living that I think disturbs so many of us is that there's no stillness, there's no silence, there's no time to really get in touch with one's inner inclinations and orientation. The computer, the media, everything is speaking to us.
Yeah, and I think one of the first things that one can do is try to develop a simplicity in one's thinking. Simplicity in your thought life, which will eventually lead to a simplicity in the outer life. If you're thinking more simply, in simple ways of living and thinking and believing, then this eventually begins to modify your outer existence.
So are you saying don't be suspicious, don't worry, don't...
Yeah, it involves concentration, perhaps more one-pointed thinking, a sense of purpose and direction, developing a sense of purpose and direction in your life, and letting go of non-essentials, conserving your energy, and reducing the busyness of thought. And as you begin to do this and develop in your inner life, your inner thought life, you're developing a new pattern of living, a new pattern of thinking. And this eventually works out in the way you want to shape your outer physical world.
So no more multitasking.
Absolutely not. No. You can't drive and talk on the phone at the same time.
Oh, I see people do that and put on their makeup while they drive.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Well, there are other techniques that can come in. Using one's time in ways that doesn't leave one constantly feeling rushed and frenzied. I think a lot of people don't realize that that's not necessary to enjoy life, that you can pare down your interests and your free time to a few things that give you pleasure and creative development without trying to do everything. I was reading a letter from a student in our school the other day. She was having a hard time continuing in our school of spiritual training, but she wanted to keep on with the work, but she also wanted to learn Italian. She wanted to learn to play the clarinet. She wanted to follow through on a couple of creative projects that had been on the back burner. She was working in a new job, and she wanted to take another kind of, I don't know, a yoga class or something. Well, clearly, the woman has to learn to make choices. You can't do everything, yeah. And yet I think the cry today is you can have it all.
Yeah.
No, only if you're satisfied with a very poor effort at everything, then you can try to have it all. But why would you want to have it all?
I think another way of bringing simplicity in your life is study the examples of simplicity. And I'm thinking of the examples of beauty. Beauty is very much related to simplicity. Beauty comes through simplicity, especially in the arts and in design work. And, you know, the Japanese are very creative at this. They've done this like haiku poetry and their design of the flowers and that sort of thing. And their whole way of life is more geared towards this, the beauty that comes through simplicity. And if you can bring more of that into your life, then you see how simplicity can be applied in a very creative way.
I suppose behind this sense of increasing complexity in the world is something that's happening on an evolutionary level that's probably ultimately good. I think that humanity is learning to handle energy in a new way, that the communications era indicates that we are learning, being forced to learn, to handle more and more knowledge, more and more light. Look at how the media, the internet, the computer have just expanded our awareness not only of the planet but of our fellow human beings in an incredible way, and that's wonderful. But it shouldn't negate the essential simplicity by which we live our own lives. Somehow there has to be an incorporation of greater spiritual light in the sense of understanding and knowledge without making the personal life so fragmented, so disrupted. Another phenomenon that's underway is the growing urbanization of the world. And I think, again, humanity is responding to this evolutionary impulse that is bringing people in many parts of the world from the countryside with its more simplified way of living toward the great urban centers. Poverty is driving them toward urban centers, and they leave their rural pastoral way of life and have to adapt to an urban complex way of living. There are a lot of problems in this, and there's a lot culturally that's probably being lost, but perhaps ultimately there's some evolutionary impulse behind it that will work out for the better. I don't know. I'm just raising it as a possibility to keep in mind so that we don't just bemoan the past.
It's interesting you mentioned about the urbanization. That's true. The more are pouring into the cities, and the cities are growing. But I think also there is a the reversal of that. Once they've lived in the cities and they fed up with all the complexities and the difficulties of living in an urban setting, there's a big tendency to want to go back to the land kind of thing, and to move out into the countryside and for the sake of the children, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But so you also see that movement in too, because they want to take all of their creature comforts with them. They don't want to go back to the old simple life as it really was. I mean, back in the 1960s, they tried that with the, you know, with the development of the communes and back to the ashrams and commune living, and so that was kind of a fad at the moment. So I think you have both the rushing into the urban areas and a lot of people trying to leave it.
I couldn't help but think of Krishnamurti before when you were speaking about the spiritual greats and their approach to the to life and insisting on simplifying life. I remember something I was reading from Krishnamurti, and I mean volumes have been written about what is happiness, and yet I'm reading his literature not too long ago, and he comes out with the statement, happiness is something to do, something to love, and something to hope for. And it was so simple, but when I thought about it, it made a lot of sense to me. But why is simplicity, why is it necessary for the spiritual life?
Well, as I said before, the writings of Alice Bailey say the simplicity of the soul opens the way to Shambhala. Another term for spiritual development is initiation, and initiation is simplification, we're told. Mm-hmm. People might think that spiritual development, spiritual growth, or initiation would lead to greater and greater complexity, but in fact the opposite is true. Simplification in the sense that, as it's said in a very esoteric writing, the solar angel collects himself and scatters not his force. In other words, the soul on its own plane scatters not its force. It knows what its purpose is. It knows what its mission is. And it organizes its energies and does not just scatter them freely. That gives us a sense of how initiation is simplification. One of the problems of the modern world, I think, is that we mistake complexity for profundity, when in fact simplicity can be deeply profound.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's here again I go back to the, illustrate that point, I go back to the illustration of the arts. I think some of the most profound expressions of artistic expressions are found in simple lines or in music, the simple melody, the simple harmonies and so forth, and of course in the simple designs of the certain buildings and that sort of thing.
Again, it's an awareness of the principles, of the essentials, that makes that art so compelling. It's not wasting its energy in a lot of different directions. It has a few essential principles that it wants to express, whether it's a visual design or a piece of music, and it orients everything toward that. And so should we live our lives in a way that concentrates our energies and our time to what our real goals are, instead of trying to just divert ourselves. Maybe that's what lies behind a lot of the complexity of modern life. It's a diversion from facing who we really are.
I think that's one of the values of studying the ageless wisdom, which is what the essentials of the Alice Bailey teachings are, because you find in the teachings of the ageless wisdom, you find this great simplicity in the broad details, in the broad outline. But it does have complexity if you look at the details. But the simplicity of, say, the Great Invocation,
mm-hmm.
and which outlines the blueprint of the plan, just those three energies, the light and love and the will to good, are a very simple outline of a very complex plan that's working out in the world. And it's all laid out in this Great Invocation, which we use sound at the end of each program. So if you listen to those words and the simplicity, to see how the ageless wisdom can bring through this tremendous body of teaching that is very simple and beautiful in the way it's laid out, but it also is very complex when you look down at the details.
Well, you can get lost in the details, but what you said reminds me of that saying that God is a geometrician, meaning that the essential dimensions of God's plan for the world can be expressed in geometrical forms, which are inherently simple and clear-cut. I think it's this awareness, again, of basic principles that organizes all the energies in a unified way. That's simplicity. Every year at Thanksgiving, this country, which has this great love of material wealth, we sing the Shekinah that it's a gift to be simple, it's a gift to be free. Behind our gratitude for life should be a cultivation of simplicity.
Well, and I guess also to reach the highest potential of the self, which is soul growth, simplicity is absolutely necessary then. And once again, we have a general package of information that we'd be happy to send out to you free of charge, containing a lot of information about Lucis Trust, how to get in contact with us, how to join our meetings. So if you want that general package of information, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. An easy way to remember, 1-866-NY-LUCIS, 1-866. Think of New York Lucis. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.